Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back to 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you for hanging out with us. Rich Gannon is our guest. A good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, the publisher of Mullings.com, and a political operative extraordinaire of the Republican persuasion. Rich, thanks again for hanging out with us. Rich, let's move over to the other side of the aisle and talk about how President Obama's doing. I got to say that when I see how he has, you know, where he is right now with regard to his policies and what the what those policies have wrought on for, you know, for whatever progress, you know, wherever they may be. And as I listen to him, obviously now, as far as I can see, in full-throated re-election mode, not governing mode, but re-election mode, I mean, it's not hard to sense the origins of a level of desperation. And I just, and if that's where he is now, 14 months in advance of the election, what's it going to be like, you know, 9 months from now, 12 months from now? And that can't wear well on the electorate, can it?
I think it does have the potential to wear everybody out, largely because one of the primary rules of electoral politics is first secure your base, and his base feels very insecure. They think that he has given way in way too easily to the Republicans, especially since last December when they effectively took control of the House. And so he's racing back to his, tacking back to his left as hard as he can, and using sort of incendiary language that that I think has raised some eyebrows.
He was scolded. An audience, was this NAACP? I've forgotten which one of the
Congressional Black Caucus. I think.
There you go. He scolded those guys, and I don't think they appreciated it.
Yeah, that's right. And Maxine Waters let him know about it. You quit whining, in essence, he said, which was conservative. I mean, that may turn out to be the if Jimmy Carter moment. You know, it's a national malaise.
Yeah.
When you're down to making your case, and when your supporters are making the case by saying, "Well, if we hadn't done what we'd done, it would be worse," that's a very weak argument. And everybody goes, there's no refutation to that because you can't rewind the clock.
You can't.
But
argue,
all I know is it ain't better.
You can't argue the counterfactual. But it's interesting to see how that's going, and what do you think? How do you think this is going to play out over the next? How do you think his behavior and his campaign will affect the Republican campaign?
I think it makes. Let's take my theory about Romney as read. That if you have a Romney who has been through the ups and downs of business cycles and sort of knows how to ride this stuff out and lost, you know, ran 4 years ago and lost and just kept running, that just starts making him look like a better and better and better alternative to a wider and wider segment of the electorate, not just Republicans, but the all-important independents and, to a great degree, moderate Democrats. And I think that at that point, the camp, you know, if Romney can get the chess pieces on the board to look like that,
right?
A year from January, or next January, I mean, then I think they can pretty much call the shots all the way through to November.
Well, and this it becomes the shrillness and the desperation that I'm hearing right now. And folks, I'm just being honest. This is not a partisan comment, Rich. Anybody can see it. The more shrill, the more desperate that President Obama's campaign becomes, the easier it becomes for Romney, because all he has to do is just kind of almost shut up, right? I mean, just let the thing play out.
That's exactly correct. He just has to look presidential and every so often come out and make a pronouncement about, what he would do and what his administration would do in this regard. This isn't any insight. It's clear that Obama's campaign has decided to replay the 1948 election,
right?
That Harry Truman was in desperate straits as well, and they ran against the do-nothing Congress. But half the Congress is owned by the Democrats, so there's no great enthusiasm in either in the House, but certainly not in the Senate, for Senate Democrats to be called a do-nothing Congress.
Let me ask you this quick question. I've got to wrap it up in about 20 seconds. Will the Tea Party be stronger and more represented in the next Congress or less?
I think probably about the same. I think they're probably pretty much maxed out, but that's a pretty significant amount of influence, mm-hmm. so I don't want to understate it.
Will there be more? Will there be more Tea Parties in the Senate?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think it's a tougher road to hoe.
Always a pleasure, Rich. Always get smarter when you join us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, my friend.
See you next time. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget Mullings.com, Mullings.com. Check it out. You don't want to miss that. Three times a week. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back after the news. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.